police officer is being mourned in Tennessee. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, gunned down at about 2 o'clock this morning.
The men and women of the Memphis Police Department are hurt right now.
Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis saying an officer was murdered on the job overnight as suspects opened fire on officers unprovoked.
That officer is Joseph McKinney.
The shooting, as officers responded to a report of a suspicious car. Two other officers shot, one hospitalized.
It was two teens who opened fire from that car. One was killed when cops shot back, the other wounded and arrested. And Fox's Jeff Manasso also reports.
We're told one of them was arrested just weeks ago in a stolen car with a Glock switch that converts a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun. He was charged with stealing two vehicles before a Memphis judge set him free. Without bond.
Days after a bill to reauthorize a controversial section of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act failed in the House, a revised version cleared a hurdle this morning, teeing up what could be final approval this afternoon.
Changes include reauthorizing the program for 2 years instead of five and allowing a vote on amendments like a warrant requirement. Section 702 allows for the warrantless surveillance of foreign persons, which the intelligence community says is vital to preventing terror attacks. Some lawmakers argue the program is in need of reform because it's been used to collect data on Americans.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. The day after FBI Director Christopher Wray warned about growing terror threats in the U.S., we're learning about an Afghan national who came to the U.S. illegally, now in custody after being placed on the terror watch list.
Connected to Hezb-e-Islami, that translates to the political party of Islam. They're a radical anti-Western group said to be responsible for the deaths of nine U.S. soldiers and civilians. So in February, Carwin was picked up again, but information about his radical ties, for whatever reason, was not relayed to the judge, so he was released a second time on bail. He has now since been picked up.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
Aches and pains are just part of getting older. You know it, and I know it, but that doesn't mean you have to just accept it. That's why I want to tell you the story about Nancy from Texas and her Relief Factor story. For years, she took care of horses and gave riding lessons. She started getting older, and Nancy began feeling the effects, so she decided to give Relief Factor a try. It didn't work overnight, but it did work. These days, she says, I have more stamina because I don't hurt. With Relief Factor, she can keep going and doing more. I can relate, as I used to have terrible aches and pains in my hands. It was to the point that I didn't even want to get out of bed in the morning. But ever since starting Relief Factor, I've got my life back. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, can help you feel and live a better life every day. To get started, try Relief Factor, their three-week quick start kit. It's $19.95, comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800, the number 4.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Miriam Ordonez. The city of San Luis, Arizona is set to receive its first ever hospital. The Regional Center for Border Health is leading the effort by paying for the project with non-tax bonds. The project is set to cost anywhere between $64 and $70 million. Construction is set to begin in October, while it is expected to be open sometime in the year 2026. And the Yuma County Anti-Drug Coalition is launching a campaign aimed at raising awareness about the dangers of marijuana use. The coalition says despite its legalization, marijuana remains a substance with potential adverse effects on mental health, including anxiety, depression, and psychosis. The campaign will feature various activities, workshops, and presentations promoting healthy lifestyles and encouraging individuals to say no to marijuana. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
A storm just off the Northern California coast is gradually heading our way. As it does so, the winds begin to pick up, and eventually we'll get some cooler weather. You'll notice that more so toward the end of the weekend. Today is a bit breezy, gust up to 30 miles an hour, and temperatures are warm, 92 this afternoon. Breezy again tomorrow, but cooling down, 85, and Sunday, sunny breezy, 78 the high. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
opening?
Go ahead.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there, Yuma. It's a beautiful day, and got Tom Rush here, the Yuma Investment Group, the founder, and Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Tom? You got Pars for the Stars tonight
George
or tomorrow?
George Davis Sr.
Senior.
George Davis Sr.
Yeah, so today's the Hospice Golf Tournament, which is today and tomorrow. Probably one of the best golf tournaments in Yuma, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And then tomorrow night's the Fort Yuma Rotary Club's doing one of their annual fundraiser events, golfing at night at the par 3 course, right across from COFA.
You still do the ball drop?
Yep, do the ball drop, yep. So you can win $2,000 if they get in a big heist and they drop a bunch of golf balls on the putting green, and the first one in the hole gets $2,000, and then I think they get $100 after that. So it's just kind of a fundraiser event. Our club does basically 3 fundraisers a year, try to limit it, so that's one of them.
You'll be selling them Saturday at the...
They'll be being sold at the event.
Okay, I'll bring some cash then.
Yeah. And then you could also buy them online. Maybe if you look at Facebook for Fort Yuma Rotary, there's a QR code or something you can buy online if you want to.
Okay.
It's all good. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, tonight we're going to the Journey concert. It's at the theater, Yuma Theater downtown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's like a Journey.
Like a knockoff band?
Knockoff band. Last night, I guess, was Pink Floyd.
Oh.
So they're doing quite a few events down there. It's pretty neat. So.
Oh, okay.
Well. Yeah, so we're going to go down and check out Journey. And then tomorrow we're playing in your Rotary's golf tournament, Pars Under the Stars. So.
Good.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yep.
Starting to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, still nice.
Yeah, it is still nice. So. Hey, I was reading this article, Tom, about the Fed audit. Do you realize that the Fed actually does get audited?
If so, it's fake audit. Who audits them?
I don't know if it's a fake audit, but there actually is one. But what I found interesting...
But who audits them?
Let's see. They don't have... Let's see. There is an audit from... because
maybe I can see them auditing themselves because they have different... Fed has different branches around the United States. So maybe they do something check and balance.
It's actually Congress does. They're like a
They hire somebody though.
They hire somebody.
But what do you say? The Fed,
Federal Reserve.
Oh, Federal Reserve. Okay.
Yeah, Federal Reserve. Right. So, and the reason being, I don't know what the reason being, but they actually lost $114 billion last year. Billion with
like
the B.
Losses and it just evaporated, or
well,
bad decisions. Or
it's the first time they've ever run an annual loss.
Oh.
If you can believe that.
Well, the Pentagon loses more than that.
Yeah.
So you're saying the budget for the employees and whatever it takes to run the Federal Reserve went negative, like to run it?
Correct. Versus the money that they have coming in as far as income.
Okay.
Their income versus
expenses. So first time ever, huh?
First time ever.
Well, I think that's showing, you know, with our $34 trillion deficit that's going to go up almost $2 trillion a year because we can't, you know, we're not cash flowing. It's probably going to... That's probably, I don't know, bad thing.
Well, here, a lot of it attributes to, it's kind of interesting, the loss is a direct consequence of the financial panic of 2008 when the Fed started paying banks to hold reserves. Because before that, the Fed would hold their own reserves. But in 2008, with the financial crisis, they started paying banks to hold the reserves.
Okay.
So, they're creating an actual money loss?
Yeah, well, I mean, the securities are held by the banks, and they still are. So now with interest rates being higher, north of 5, they're paying a lot more to the banks to hold their reserves. So that's putting them into this deficit.
I wonder if they're going to have to stop that practice.
Well, they say that, of course, the Fed says that they're not worried about it because they pay 5.4 in the excess reserves to the banks. And they're saying that that they'll make this money back. It doesn't say how. I don't know how, if they're going to start.
Famous last words, don't worry about it.
Well, they got a rich backer, man. The taxpayer backs them. They're not going to go out of money.
They call these accumulated losses deferred assets because it expects to return the profitability in the future.
Well, the other thing about the Fed and the interest rates, you know, the beginning of the year, they thought they'd have 3 hikes, 4 hikes pretty quick in the year, and now everything's getting pushed back. The markets had a tough week, and I think it's down today. Because what they're saying is inflation's, you know, coming back a little bit.
Well, no, that's not what Joe says.
Yeah. Well, and they think now they're looking at maybe if they lower rates sometime late summer, like September or so, or, you know, it was June. So the Fed's very good at, you know, 1 week you think they're going to do X, and then the next week they're like, oh, no, we're going to do it this way. And then they revert back the other way a couple weeks later. So to me, it's almost like you really can't pay too much of attention until the move happens because it's words and I don't know. Yeah. I get that. I mean, it's, yeah, what they say is could change tomorrow, and it just seems like it's more blowhard words than, you know.
Well, that's just pretty much all the talk right now that I hear. When are the Feds going to be cutting rates?
Yeah.
Because the Feds' plan was to start cutting rates this year. I mean, I understand the consequences
like
if they don't.
Was the original.
Yeah, they were
now
looking
then
at 5.
And it got kicked back to June, and now they're saying late September.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean they can't change it tomorrow either, you know? But
right. Well, I can see none.
Inflation just went up 3.5.
Yeah.
That's not rate-cutting territory.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
3.2 from 3.1 to 3.2 to 3.5 is accelerating, if anything.
Yeah. One of the big things messing up the numbers is what it costs people to live in the house, whether you own the house or you rent from the house.
Yeah.
Because the housing market, the prices have really gone up. I mean, food's gone up, but
energy, you know, oil's at 90.
Renting houses and that has really affected those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And oil is what, back above 80, 85 a barrel? Maybe?
Yeah, close to 90.
So those are the three things that beat you up, food, gas, and rent.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
I didn't realize that they counted the rent in there for, you know, as a calculation. And if you're an owner, then they count what would be your actual cost to rent.
Well, and you got to be careful because there's so many different numbers out there. Like the consumer price index doesn't include food or rent.
Yeah, or they cut out food and energy.
Yeah, energy. So that's a number that won't, you know.
That's the
one.
And
then there's like three other numbers, producer price index, and then there's another one that includes the rent and the food.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
I think the Fed favors the CPI, like you're talking about, the consumer price index, food and energy.
Because their numbers look better that way.
Yeah, they do.
They're not stupid. They quote something that looks better.
Yeah.
So. But anyways, it should be interesting because, you know, October was a low point for the year of 23. And then from October, November, December, January, February, and even March, the market, you know, really had a great run. It was one of the best fourth quarters of 23 that they've had since like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's interesting with the Fed not going to lower rates. And why that's a big deal for the Fed to lower rates, because so many things are dependent on borrowing money. You know, you buy a house, rates go down, you save more money. If you have inventory that you have to buy or finance,
mm-hmm.
So high rates contract the money supply. So anyways, it'd be interesting to see this summer if there's some hiccups coming. And I say hiccups. They said if you take a 12-month rolling average of the S&P 500 at any time, like just 12 months, they said usually the high to the low in any year is about 8%. So that means if you're patient and if you, you know, are looking to put money in, if you wait through all those 12 months, there'll probably be a month and a half where things get kind of beat up. And that's probably an opportunity point.
Yeah.
But it could get beat up even more, meaning down 12%, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's interesting to know that, you know, the market fluctuates about 8%. Every year, no matter what.
Yeah, each year on average, there's an 8 to 10% fluctuation that.
Yeah, from high to low.
Yeah, from high to low, and that's actually healthy for the market, I think, Tom. You know, you have this run up for the last four or five months, then there's some consolidation and some move to different, you know, securities. But like you said, I think it gives them an opportunity to be buying, and especially if you're dollar cost averaging in. So when the market's down like it is now, take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Then we got I saw in the headline about Israel, and now they're thinking that Iran might be launching some missiles or something.
They've been saying that, like, Iran's claimed to, you know, they were going to do that 4 or 5 days ago. They keep saying it. Nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's possible.
But what's changed there, right? I mean, Maybe launching some bigger missiles?
Retaliating against something. Was it an embassy or something?
In Syria. And there was a headquarters. I guess it was a headquarters for Hamas. It was planning the attacks. But they happened to be Iranian people that were doing it. And so they took out a couple Iranian leaders that were guiding Hamas. And so they said they're going to attack.
Yeah, but that's what's changed there. Iran probably susceptible to...
We all know they're funding
whatever they want,
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just the headline that made it sound like it changed. But that's what's helping with, that's forcing oil up over there, too, as well.
And talk about inflation. You know, Europe's getting, I think, hit worse than us, mainly because a lot of the shipping cargo goes through.
Black Sea.
Is it the Black Sea?
No.
No, it's not the Black Sea. It's the one that goes through, you know, by Saudi Arabia.
The Red Sea.
To the Mediterranean, yeah.
Mediterranean.
But anyways, a lot of those shipping containers stopped going because they were...
The Houthis were attacking them.
Yeah, they were attacking them. So they had to go all the way down below Africa to the, you know, north around Africa. So that's causing, you know, anything that's being shipped to Europe is now extra cost because of the fees. So Europe's... having some inflation problems also.
Weren't they having some problems with the Panama Canal and there wasn't enough water and it was really slowing down the shipping also?
That is true. It was like, that runs on fresh water.
Oh, okay.
I guess fresh water doesn't have salt and all the stuff that's going to cause problems. But
yeah.
They've always had plenty of fresh water. But
you would think because they connect to the ocean on each side, why would they not just use salt water? Rust things out too much?
It would. Yeah. There's a problem with the salt water.
Yeah,
anytime you go to the coast and you see the, you know, the buildings compared to, because of the air and the salt water, how they're
the metal,
stucco and metal and everything.
When we gave it up.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating, though.
We gave it up and China came in and, you know, expanded it, made it bigger to take bigger ships and stuff like that. Well, they were cautioned at the time there's not fresh water to run that much. You know, it's going to take more water.
Yeah.
And they did it.
And now it's...
you know, and now they're like, we got no water. Well, what a surprise.
All right, we're up against our first break here. We will be right back. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group, George Davis, senior. And we're here just talking about what's going on. We're doing a couple series of seminars coming up here in the next couple weeks or so. The first one is about Social Security and George Davis. You got your high-powered Social Security designation.
That's right. NSSA, National Social Security Advisor.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the NASA one, yeah.
But anyways, everyone is pretty much involved in Social Security, and you go over the ins and outs and what to watch for, and maybe you can talk a little bit about to the listeners.
Sure.
Some of the things that might be of interest to going.
Yeah, it's coming up. Social Security seminar is at Yuma Investment Group, which is on 182 East 16th Street, 928-329-1700. Give us a call and RSVP for that. It's going to be held at our office there. And that is Saturday, April 27th. Well, the first one's Tuesday, April 23rd. I have two of them. So Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. and Saturday, April 27th at 10. So you know, let us know if you'd like to attend.
Well, one of the things I've noticed with Social Security is people make quick decisions on how to take the money. Like they maybe think about it sometimes for like a couple minutes. So you spend your whole life putting money in this program. It behooves you to spend some time and look at, you know, we have some software program that can help determine best time to take it for the spouse and the husband.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people need to spend more time on it. So I don't know if you want to bring up some points that you bring up at the seminar or things to think about.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom. It's people think Social Security is pretty simple, pretty basic, which it can be, but there's also a lot of nuances that you got to look out for. And if you incorporate into the holistic financial planning process, when we do our financial planning, you know, you can start taking it at 62. A lot of people will grab it right at 62 because they know that that's the first chance they get, and they don't think very long about, you know, long and hard and look at the numbers to see if waiting is a better time.
I saw a number, and they said, like, a high number, like 60% plus take it at 62.
Yeah, it's about 54%.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which almost really, 60.
Which really, let's talk about that, because I don't think people understand if you wait till full retirement age, which is usually 65 to 66, depending on when you're born,
mm-hmm.
compared to if you wait to age 70, which is a maximum age you can wait.
Correct.
So let's talk about that, because that's a big number. I mean, you're getting a pretty good haircut.
You are getting a pretty good haircut because, you know, obviously we're investors and we do investing. If we could say every year you're going to make an 8% return minimum without, you know, cost of living adjustment or any inflation, would you like that return?
That's a good number, right?
It's a pretty good number, yeah. So each year that you wait, that Social Security is gonna go up 8% as far as what you're gonna receive for the rest of your life.
So from age 62 to full retirement age, isn't it about a 30% discount?
Yeah, 32.
32% discount. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't, you know, seem like a lot, but then if you wait from full retirement age to age 70, every year you wait, it's an 8% increase.
Correct.
So you're really talking about, say it's 67, 68, 69, 70. There's three more years. That's 24%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really talking about a 50% difference, right?
Are you talking about between
62 to 70?
From 62 to 70, yes. Yeah, 50% or more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't seem, you know, maybe it's a big number, maybe it's not, but it's 50%, big number in my eyes. But the bigger number is if you live long, and the average life expectancy is, you know, mid-80s, give or take. Historically, Social Security has had an inflation increase. Fluctuates every year, but it's usually about 1.5% if you average it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you talking about a 50% pay cut, but you start putting on 1.5% increase on 50% less money, that inflation increase makes it even worse than the 50%. And mm-hmm. people don't think about that.
And people think about having... No, you know, when we had no increase and, well, you know, what's the chance of COLA going up again, cost of living adjustment? But remember, a couple of years ago when inflation was real high, it was an 8.6% increase in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then followed by, I think it was a 4-something. Yeah, so you're looking at...
It was a 0 1 year.
Yeah, it was a 0 1 year. But on average, you're right. So, I mean, tack that on top of that 8%, and it's a big deal.
Do 1.5% for 10 years, do the math, that's about another 12%, give or take, increase.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're starting with 50% less money, it compounds on that, too.
Yeah, it does.
There's
another thing, though, I'd like to talk about real quick on that, Tom, is people think that, so let me ask you this question. If I was going to give you a job, and it's a pretty good job, pretty good paying job, say 100 grand, for the next 20 years, but you're never going to get a pay raise. And I'm telling you, okay, here you go, Tom. Yeah. Here's your 100 grand a year, but for 20 years, then you can retire, but I'm not going to give you a pay raise the whole time. What would you say?
Well, most people live for the moment and say, oh, it's 100 grand. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I think your point is...
But you're never going to get a raise over the 20 years.
So historically, inflation, if you round it, has been about 3%. I'm talking like the last 30 years. So that means that every 20 years, your money's getting cut in half for the buying power.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're getting paid $100,000 a day, fast forward 20 years, your buying power on that $100,000 is about $50,000 worth of buying power.
Correct.
So, you know, that's the same with Social Security.
Well, Social Security has that cost of living adjustment. There's not a lot of retirement programs out there, and I consider Social Security a retirement program, that have that cost of living adjustment. Look at pensions.
But it's really half the amount, because if the average is 3%,
mm-hmm.
the Social Security's average 1.5%, I mean, they're giving you an increase, but it's not to the level it probably should be.
No, not to the level it probably should be, but like my wife, when she retires from the school district, she's going to get Arizona State retirement. If she leaves 30 years, she's not going to get a raise even once.
Yeah, so some pension programs, like the Arizona Retirement, they don't give you any increase to living.
Uh-huh, agree.
But that just goes to show, if you live long enough, you're slowly going to be getting pinched on Social Security, because 1.5% is not 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any type of pension that doesn't increase, then you're going to get pinched. So that's where you see a lot of people. I remember my grandparents. My grandma lived to be like 95, and I think my grandpa was like 84 or something. And I remember, you know, they lived pretty long, because I think they retired in the 60s. And they had a pretty good lifestyle. But towards the end, you can tell, like, they were pinching, you know, like, you know, on stuff. And that's what's going to happen if you don't prepare. You're going to slowly realize, I can't, you know, go out and eat as much. I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe travel as much because it's gas. So it's just... You slowly work yourself in that little box. And by the time you realize you're in that box, you're already in the, you know, mid-70s, and you realize, well, I can't even work now if I wanted to.
Right.
Maybe, for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So something to, you know, really think about. And that's why a financial plan and Social Security analysis go hand in hand, because you should look at each one. And really, most people should do a plan to see where they're going to be at when they're 70, 75, 80, 85, 90. And see if the plan holds up.
Yeah, I agree.
Because...
And you bring up a good point between that age of 62 and 67, 70, how much increase you're going to be receiving. That's a big deal, because you put that into the plan, because people think about, if they start thinking about today, okay, I've got $3,000-$4,000 a month, you know, coming in as far as income goes. That's plenty for me to live. I'll be happy. House is paid off.
Bills.
Yeah, I pay my bills. But they don't really think about, it's kind of in the here and now. You don't think about the next 10, 15, 20 years and look at what the cost of living's gone up. Plus, the other thing, Tom, is you got to think about if you're single, it's you know, an easier choice. But if you're with your spouse and you're doing the financial plan and Social Security planning, the Social Security goes away. But you got to remember, you have that spousal benefit. Or the deceased spouse benefit, where you can jump onto the other one.
Yeah.
So in my scenario, the higher amount. So in my situation, my wife's female, obviously, younger by 5 years.
I'm glad you pointed that out, George.
Point being, females on average live longer than you and I. And I'm sure both our spouses will outlive us.
It's about 5 to 7 years longer.
It's 5 to 7 years longer. And she's 5 years younger than me. So the average could be 10.
And she's a little lighter than you, George.
That's why they call me George Davis Sr. And I'm going to be playing, what am I going to be playing on your football team, Russ? Guard?
Guard.
Okay.
No, center.
So anyway, point being, so the chances of her outliving me are pretty dang good. And it could even be 10 years.
So it behooves you to wait.
Well, it behooves me to wait, because what if I... At 70, you know, my income's pretty solid, so I could get a good Social Security payment at 70 if I wait. And let's say she even takes it early, or 67 at her retirement age. That way I'm planning for her longevity. When I pass, she can hop on that bigger Social Security amount. So there are some strategies out there, especially for the higher income earner, to wait longer and take it at 67 or 70. Because of the spousal benefit. So just a little tidbit there in the planning. But a lot of people don't think about that.
So here's a good point. a lot of spouses, I would say almost 30, a third of them or a lot more, will make their decision on when to take Social Security just on their Social Security alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my Social Security. I get to take it when I want to take it.
Yeah.
And they don't coordinate it with the spouse because there is you can have an advantage if you coordinate it.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, it's who's older, who made more money. I mean, that all matters.
Mm-hmm. It does matter.
So, but most people don't. They just say, well, my wife wants to take it. It's up to her because it's her Social Security. But that shouldn't be the thought process. It should be, well, let's analyze both of them and see how to maximize the payout.
Yeah. And you mentioned the financial plan, how they tie together. So let's say you do have other sources of income, whether that's an IRA or a Roth or a pension plan, and you utilize the money from that other income source to bridge that gap. To say I'm going to wait till I'm 70, then I'm going to have some assets to draw on to get to me that point. So let's say I'm drawing off of an IRA and it's going to be taxable. Well, it's kind of a bummer that it's taxable, but that's what we're using to help to wait for my Social Security to grow. And then at 73, which is now the required minimum distribution age, if I'm drawing off of my IRA and taking Social Security, first of all, I don't have any problem with taking Social Security after age 67, especially if I'm working part-time or something. So I don't have to worry about the income limits at all.
Mm-hmm.
But my IRA is a lower dollar amount, so I was drawing on it.
So the RMDs would be less.
RMDs would be less taxes when I'm also taking Social Security, less taxes on Social Security, less taxes on Medicare. And also when I'm taking that RMD money, maybe I've got less in there and taxes are up. Taxes are a pretty low rate right now, so I've been taking my RMD and paying taxes, who knows, at a lower rate than in the future when they go up.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things a financial plan does is factors in the compounded interest rate. So if you make a 6% return, 7, 8, 9, 10, our brains don't factor the compounding effect.
Yeah.
And that also factors in taxes. And with the $34 trillion deficit going up almost $2 trillion a year, we're going to have tax problems, meaning taxes aren't probably going to go down. Mm-hmm. But again, the software program could plug that in. And then the third factor it plugs in is inflation. And those three things, you need a computer to do it.
Yeah,
you do.
Because I don't
care. There's no person that can sit there and compute those numbers. It's all kind of comes together.
Well,
and
to keep track
then when they change
head,
their rules, because they always changes taxes, change. I know, Trump did a tax discount, but it's going to, at the end of 25, it's going to revert back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So when things change, the software program would pick it up again. So the financial plan should be looked at along the way every couple of years and not just one and done. So,
yeah, we get a financial plan. You look at it every couple of years and you review it, and then there will be some different numbers down the line.
Yeah.
And then you may alter the time that you're going to be taking that pension or that time that you're going to be taking that Social Security, and that'll change it. But you can do different scenarios in our financial plan. You can have a scenario where you take it at 67, you take it at 70, your spouse takes it.
Option one, option two, option
three.
Yeah,
and you can see it right there in front of you how much difference that's going to be in the amount that you receive.
So taxes are supposedly going to go up over time, which, it's going to have to happen. I mean, I think everyone's on page for that. So what's one of the best places not to take money out of when you retire with just the idea of taxes going up?
Best place not
to take money out of.
If taxes are going up, qualify
starts with an R.
Yeah,
Roth IRA.
Oh, okay.
Because basically, Roth IRA money grows deferred.
Yep.
And then it avoids all taxes for the future. So if you think taxes are going to be higher 10, 15 years from now,
let the Roth play out. Yeah.
You have more money.
Okay.
You drain your pre-tax money first, and then the Roth would be last.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, those little strategies that people don't think about, they just think, oh, here's bucket A, bucket B, bucket C. I need money. I'm gonna pull from bucket B, and they don't even think about the repercussion of from A or C. So, but hey, we're taking another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk again. Tom Rush, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We're just talking about whatever crosses our mind, but we're on the subject of Social Security, and we're giving a couple seminars this next 2 to 4 weeks, and one of them is Social Security. You want to give the dates out, George?
Yep. Social Security Seminar is going to be at Yuma Investment Group, 928-329-1700. Call us up and give us an RSVP. You will definitely learn something there. I've got my national Social Security advisor now, and it's I think it's a really good seminar. I enjoy doing it. You know how you kind of, Tom, go through and you have different subjects that our advisors are specializing in. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I picked this one. It's real interesting. And
applies to everybody.
It applies to everybody, yeah. And yeah. It feels good to help people because they don't really think that, like we've been talking about, that it's really that big deal of a choice, but it is. And yeah. There are different nuances that you want to be looking at. But sorry, Tom, hold on. Saturday, April 27th, 10 o'clock, and Tuesday, April 23rd, that'll be after work at 6.
So you got two times, one on the weekend and one's after in the evening, so that way people have a choice.
That's right. Tuesday.
That's a great idea, George.
Saturday. Thank you. I think that was your idea, Tom.
Oh, that was? I think I could tell.
But our conference room probably holds about, I don't know, 10, 11 people, so it's not like you're going to be in a room full of 30 people. So
yeah, it's pretty cozy. As it grows, we're going to be needing we're going to be needing a bigger venue. So. Yeah,
but you plan on doing this on a every other month or so basis, right?
Yeah, every quarter, but I think this will be every couple months here at first. So
because when you see a seminar like, oh, I want to go to that, and they're like, well, I'm out of town. You wait another 3 months, and then you miss that one. Now you're up to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So, but anyways. So there are two other pitfalls that people do with Social Security that I've seen. And the first one is they decide to take it early, so 62 up to retirement age, full retirement, which is usually 65 to 67. Mm-hmm. But if you take it early, what happens?
So if you take it early, let's say you decide you want to take Social Security at 62, what do you have to worry about? You have to worry about income. Are you still continuing to work? Because some people will take it early, and if their full retirement age is 67, that's 5 years. And in that case, the Social Security Administration allows you to take out at 62. You can do that, but if you make over, in front of me, isn't it? Yeah, it's like 19
almost something, 20,
almost 20. If you make over that amount each year or during the year, then they're going to withhold a dollar for every two that they would be given you.
So you're saying your Social Security payment would be half the amount.
Correct.
Which we get calls from people that says, I don't know what happened. I signed up for Social Security and the first check came in and it's like half the amount. And we know right away, well, you draw it early and you make too much.
And you make too much money.
Yeah. So,
And there's some different, everyone's going to be individually, every individual is going to be different, but there's also people don't think it's monthly. What if I worked January, February, March, April, and now I'm done working? Does that 4 months cover the entire year, or do they look at it per month? So there's different ways to at least evaluate it and not think, oh, my gosh, I already made more for the entire year, and now I can't take it. So where you could really.
It's by calendar year, right?
No, it's by. So let's say you turn 62 and you're going to work half the year.
Okay, so I 62 in June. Mm-hmm. I finish out the year,
and you finish out the year, and you've made over that $20,000.
So it's from June, July, August, September, October, November, not from the calendar year.
I'm sorry. No, it's not. It's let's say you okay. Let's make it easy.
Give an example.
January through June, half the year. So for 6 months you work.
Okay.
And then you retire July 1.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh wait a minute, I already went over that this year, so I can't take the money. I'll be withhold 50%. That's not the case. They'd look at
so
it per
point
month.
So the point when you retire going forward.
Yes.
Okay, see, that's something new. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's kind of because they'll take it on a month-by-month basis. They'll divide by and say,
So that's the thing. You learn something.
Mid-year. It's pretty interesting.
Yep. And so, there's a software program where we can plug in both spouses' information, taking it early, taking it, you know, and it kind of kicks out numbers so someone can really see what how to maximize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Usually the best thing is make sure you're not working or you're staying underneath that income limit, you know, if you're going to be starting to take your Social Security early.
Yeah.
But.
So that's a pitfall that happens. Now, if someone does that and realizes, like, oh, I shouldn't have done it, can you go back and change it or stop it?
Yeah, you can. Oh, you go can? Back and change it. It's called an overpayment. And in this issue, I get this Social Security issue every month. There's some interesting... Well, it's a great issue. Anyway.
It's a newsletter, yeah.
So there's in overpayments of Social Security, there's $23 billion in outstanding overpayments.
So if I pull for 2 months and realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that, then do I have to pay money back to
correct.
Okay.
And as it was now, it's 60 days. So there's a lot of different ways to have overpayment.
Is there
one is if you're working and you're
yeah, our example.
Getting the money, our example, then that's an overpayment. They're going to want that money back.
What kind of interest do you get if you don't pay it back?
There's some small penalties. It's not a big deal, but the bigger deal is if, like, there's people that have thousands of dollars in overpayments. And if they try to, you know, if Social Security is their only means by which they make money, then they run into some hardship.
But they probably, when they start taking Social Security, they probably garnish that, right, somehow?
Yeah, they do. What if they find it later, and that's your only source of income, and you're living day to day, and now they're garnishing your Social Security? That's happened, too. And people have run into economic hardship because of the overpayment. Another way is, for example, let's say you're taking your spouse's benefit, and they die. And you don't notify them very quickly, and they continue to pay you the higher Social Security that your spouse had as opposed to what you would make if you switched
so
back.
You gotta pay that back.
Yeah, so you got to pay that back too.
So let's talk about the spouse thing because they've changed the rules a little bit. It was, you know, you can use your spousal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just simplify a little bit about that whole arrangement? Because I think it's probably to me the most confusing, but it's a lot of different rules that are tough to understand.
Yeah. Let me read you this example because this will help a lot. This is from this article I get, the advisor mailbag. So my husband passed away at age 64 in December of 2017. He was collecting Social Security disability. I started collecting on his benefit at age 64 because it was higher than mine. So this is the wife talking. I'm now 70 years old and plan to remarry. Will I still be able to collect the benefit after I'm married?
There's a rule, and I would say yes, but it's based on a rule, though, right? It's all about rules.
Yeah, it's all about rules. Well, a lot of people think if they remarry that they can't be taking that benefit from their deceased spouse anymore.
Well, that happens if you're younger, though, right?
Yes.
At a younger age, you wouldn't lose
it. It's remarriage at 60 or older, Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already past that, so I never have to worry about it.
Hey, you asked us that question last time, and he got you the answer, right?
He did.
Yeah.
So, he took good care of me.
So the cool thing about this program around with Social Security is if we don't know the answer, we can actually email a Social Security, I think it's an attorney or expert.
They
will come
Heather.
Back like telling you exactly what the rules are.
I read this and I'm like, this is almost the exact same one. Right. That Russ, because I've asked her questions before and she's used it in her article, and it said, "Oh, signed George Senior." This time it was signed hopeful. So maybe she used yours or a variation of it. It was pretty interesting. So anyway, you don't have to worry because in terms of losing your monthly survivor benefit under your late husband's record, remarriage at 60 or beyond does not disqualify you from collecting survivor benefits. Now, Tom's talking about, you know, some of the survivor benefits if your spouse passed away. And then, of course, there's divorce spouse benefit if you've been divorced, so which they're different. But on this one, once you've been married, after she's been married a year, and she can switch to 50% of her husband's primary insurance amount. So the husband that she married, after a year, if it's higher than what she was getting from her deceased husband, she can flip over to it. So his primary insurance amount is 50%. So it may not be higher, but if it is, you can still do that. So there's a lot of those are the ones that are pretty interesting because you have to play a little bit detective and
And make sure because you don't want to be found give bad advice.
No, you got.
Well,
that's why I go to the source and I'm like, this is the exact scenario.
But because it is for younger people, let's say a wife is widowed at a younger age, 40, 35 or something, some accident. And she's getting survival. Well, then if she gets remarried, she loses it. And I've
under 60, yes.
Yeah, so I've heard that there's people that have called off wedding plans because of that. Mm-hmm. Like the government's forcing them to stay, single.
Yeah. So I would. And then there's also the children, 18 and under, that people forget about. If you're young and your husband or wife passes away and you have, minors, 18 and under, they collect Social Security.
Can they get married?
And
that's a good question.
And I've seen
18.
Do they lose it after they get married?
I mean, no, they lose it after they turn 19.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yes, yeah. It only goes up till age 18.
So for grandparents that get custody of their grandkids, I mean, a lot of grandparents do this because their kids are dysfunctional or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can also collect Social Security if you have court rights. Custodian on
yeah,
the kids.
You actually have the
so
the,
a lot of grandparents don't even know that they have two taking care of two or three kids, and then they can't realize they can collect $600, $700, $800.
Don't tell them. I don't want the program to go broke. Don't tell them.
The program's already gonna go.
Oh, it's already broke. Okay.
Hey, before we take our break here, let me just say one other thing that I've seen happen a lot is if someone marries for 10 years and then gets a divorce, or the person dies, mm-hmm. and then they remarry. And that person, the other spouse dies, a lot of times you only think, well, I get to take my Social Security or I take my spouse's who's dead, whoever has the most amount, I take the biggest one.
Right.
What they don't realize is if you've ever been married to someone for 10 years or longer, you could actually opt to take their Social Security and they don't even know about it. So you don't have to get you don't have to talk to them or anything. But sometimes
you're
never
talking
know.
About the divorced one that's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you never know, or even if they're dead.
Yeah,
but you never know. Like if I divorced someone when I was 28, and they turn out to be really successful and make a ton of money, maybe their Social Security is like a lot higher than their present husband.
Yeah.
So if he passes, you have choices on both.
Yeah, you do.
So
and the other mistake, Tom, is they don't think about the being able to hop off of it and jump on their bigger one.
Yeah.
So if they're young and they're 60, 62, and they're taking that benefit to get money up till 70, then they can jump onto their own.
I had a lady who was basically taking off her husband's who's deceased, and it wasn't a lot of money. I think it was like $2,000 something. And basically we started talking, and then she goes, well, I got my first son from my first marriage. I'm like, so you've been married before? And they're like, yeah. Was it more than 10 years? Yeah. And I said, well, you can look into that person's, draw on that, because he was also deceased. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, he's a really successful business owner, like, I don't know, somewhere. So basically her thing went from like $2,000 a month to like $3,400.
Ooh, nice.
And she had no idea that that was even out there.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference.
Someone's
that is a big difference. And you don't get that type of advice.
It's
when
about $18,000 a year.
The Social Security Administration.
Yeah.
They don't usually just volunteer, by the way, because they're not digging deep in planning.
Not to knock the Social Security Administration, but so many times we tell clients, go down there, you can do X. They get down there, I can't do it. They call us, we can't do it. And then we either have to send them data to show, or we'll ask them this question or get us on the phone. So the reality is those guys are trained through a one-door training, and they don't understand those multiple doors to go through. So whatever they tell you, I would get a second opinion, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I mean, they see a lot of people. They work hard. I'm not knocking this little security system. But, I mean, but
yeah, they're not trained like they should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, well, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
This is Derek Hegerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Sr., and Yuma Investment Group, just talking about Social Security and the ins and outs of it. We have a seminar coming up. You want to give those dates again, George?
Seminar date for the Social Security seminar is Tuesday, April 23rd, and that's at 6 p.m., so if you want to come after work in the evening and have some fun, Saturday, April 27th at 10 a.m. at Yuma Investment Group. We're looking at 182 East 16th Street next to the Smart and Final there, so give us a call on RSVP, 928-329-1700. Pretty easy number to remember.
Now, one of the things with the rules of Social Security is they don't want someone to be on their deathbed and just to be nice to your neighbor who has single mom with three kids. You're like, listen, marry me, and then when I die, you can collect my Social Security.
Yeah.
So they have a rule where if you marry somebody, you have to wait for a set period of time before it actually will kick in. And they're trying to avoid the deathbed marriage.
Yeah. It's 1 year.
1 year.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Got to wait 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Not so, 18. So.
Yeah. But I'm sure there's arrangements out there in the RV parks and that where if someone's, you know, 85 years old and I'm 62, I'm like, listen, let's just get married and, you know, I'll take your hire amount and maybe, you know, do something. I don't know. I'm sure that happens, right?
Did that? Oh,
it's a big deal. I mean,
yeah,
if someone has $4,000 a month compared to $2,000 a month,
especially if
all
you're,
you need is a piece of paper to say you're married.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that especially happens. If you don't have any really income built up yourself, so. But you know why they do that, right? Is if I was I was a stay-at-home father and I didn't have a lot of income and work, but my wife did or my spouse did, then at least I'm entitled to something, you know, when it comes time for retirement.
Yeah.
If I didn't.
Yeah, they did it so that the either the stay-home spouse or the one that maybe wasn't the breadwinner because they're helping with kids and couldn't, you know,
so they're
has
not,
extra money.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell you that story that a friend of mine told me about the railroad pensions?
No.
So this is how it used to be with the railroad pension. When you got married, you were entitled to, just by getting married, kind of like you're talking about with Social Security.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was half. I think it was half or 50% of your spouse's railroad pension.
Okay.
So what they were doing is two people that worked for the railroad would marry each other.
So they wouldn't lose it.
No. So they're getting half of their spouse. He's getting half of hers. She's getting half of his. Or, you know, half of the spouse's.
Oh, yeah. They don't have to be dead to get half?
No. No, this is back in the day.
Oh, okay.
They changed it ever since. But, yeah,
see,
it was.
I mean, money flows like water. If there's a way to advantage a certain person, they will figure it out.
Yeah, so they would be adding an extra, basically like an extra pension in marriage. So.
Well,
I don't know how many years ago it was, but he was telling me about it. And what else you want to know about Social Security, Tom? Fire out some more here.
I think what I want the listeners to know is basically there's a lot of rules and the rules change a little bit. And if you're not spending time trying to figure out the best way to maximize yours and your spouse, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And people don't understand the magnitude of how you can get more money out of Social Security if you plan for it in a smarter fashion than just picking a number and saying, I need my money.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That summarize enough?
No, that's a good summary.
Now, in 2035, 36, the trust fund's going to be broke. So there's money supposed to be in a trust fund with IOUs, whatever. And as you know, they haven't fixed Social Security, which means more money's getting paid out than being brought in.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say it goes to the end where it does go broke. So what's going to happen is there's money flowing in and there's people that are getting paid Social Security. So then you're going to get about 70 to 75 cents on the dollar if Social Security trust fund runs out by 2035 or so, which that tells you is, you know, people will still get Social Security. So we hear, well, I don't plan Social Security because it's not going to be around or something. But it will be around. You just won't get as much.
Yeah.
But you can put in your financial plan, hey, let's assume I only get 70% of my Social Security because I believe that it's not going to be as strong. So you can plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those numbers that you throw out there, you know, people get kind of worried about or freaked out about, but that's if they do absolutely nothing. And I wish they would start early. Like, we like to have our clients plan ahead. You know, a financial plan or any type of plan you have, start planning now. There's never too early to plan. But they should start implementing those changes,
not going to happen.
Whether you have to wait, you know, they take the 62 and they extend it, or retirement age, or the amount that you're making, or if there's that limit where if you make so much money, you only contribute so much to Social Security. They should start at least implementing that or talking about it now instead of waiting until the 2030 like you were talking about.
There's a couple quick mechanisms that will fund it right away, and one of them is, I think the maximum you get taxed on Social Security, don't quote me on this, but it's like 170,000.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Pretty
close.
And if they just said, we're going to tax anybody with any type of income, so some of these movie stars that make a couple million or sports athletes that make a couple million, if they just change that alone, it would fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they'd have to pay them more when they retire.
That's the kicker, Russ.
Well, but the most that can be done, I think the max you can pay out, it's almost $5,000, right? Social Security's max?
Social Security's max.
It's not that high.
It's not five. It's under that.
It's not five. It's
like 4,800.
39.
No, it's in the four now.
Is it four? If you wait till 70.
Yeah. So the point is, they won't get their money. I mean, if you're a multimillionaire and you have to pay Social Security tax, probably it's capped at $5,000.
Well, the reason they cap it is because they have a cap limit now. Yeah. So if they extend that.
It's going to be changing, though. So the rules are going to be changing. Things dysfunctional. Someone has to fix it. Hopefully it happens.
Agreed, but
anyways, Yuma, we're out of time here. Everyone have a great weekend. Be safe. Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Yep. Have a great time, everybody. Yuma.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.